This station is powered by Simplecast UK, your one-stop streaming shop. Reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's, simplecast.co.uk.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, September the 10th. And you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Sertling.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, Jules. How are you?
I'm very well. I had a lovely summer party with the Bloomberg bunch.
Did you?
Yes.
Did it go well?
On Saturday. Yes, it did. It was down near Potter's Bar.
Was it dry?
Dry?
As in, no alcohol?
Oh, no. No,
I couldn't understand. I didn't get any tweets from you at 2 a.m, so I thought she can't be drinking.
Well, no, I think I was probably passed out by that time.
Ah, that would explain it. That would explain it.
It started very early, Paul Andrews. About 12. Vodka cranberry.
At lunchtime.
Very nice, yes. Yeah.
Or breakfast.
Yeah. But the food was exquisite. Very, very good for such a large event. You know, thousands and thousands of people.
And where was it?
It was in a stately home near Potter's Bar, sort of route that way.
All right, okay.
I don't know, I just followed my sat nav. In fact, my son drove me, Joshua.
I was going to say you didn't drive.
No, I was in the back.
I knew you wouldn't have driven.
But very, very good. But it was great to see such a huge event with such brilliant food, the catering, the service, and even the portaloos were very pleasant, which
were
was
they?
Good. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
And how's your week been?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, okay. Busy. Yeah.
Good. We've got a cracking show, haven't we?
We have indeed. We've got a very cracking show. We've got some great guests. And we're going to be talking about Manston Airport later on in the show with our two guests, Mr. Charles Buchanan, who's the Chief Executive of Manston Airport, and Mr. Nicholas Reed, who's the Chair of Why Not Manston. But we'll come to them later in the show.
We will.
For the moment, we'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, because this show is all about you. So if you'd like to get hold of us, you can do it in a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. Or you can send us an email at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But the most likely way to get hold of us is to tweet us live on air by following me at VanillaWeb. And we've already had just a dozen or so tweets.
A zillion I've got.
Have you?
A zillion tweets.
Are you going to start reading them from the top again?
I may start the middle today, just to thwart you.
Just to be a nuisance.
Just to thwart you. Because
just
you
so
know,
we end up reading the same tweet twice.
Just when you think you know.
That's
you.
Not easy to say either.
No, nothing's easy for you to say.
No, really. The same tweet twice.
No. You wouldn't want to say that after a vodka cranberry.
Would I not?
No.
Okay.
Had one in from Whitstable Stove Shop. And they're saying, it's just come in, but they're saying 4 minutes till Kent Business Radio must listen. It's an airport special, Manston.
Cool. Good. Well, welcome to those guys. We've also had a tweet from Snodland Computers.
Are they new?
Who are a new listener. Yeah. So welcome, Snodland Computers. And we've also had a tweet from Philippa Ashford, who's CAD4.
So she's a design, sort of, might be kitchens, bathrooms, do you think?
No, I think
you're a bit of a CAD, aren't you?
I am a CAD, yes, but I think they're an agency, a print agency, okay. And stuff like that.
I only know about CAD for bathrooms and kitchens.
Do you?
Architect type people.
Really?
Yeah.
And I've also had a tweet from, this is a bit confusing, they're Selka Business Solutions, but their Twitter handle is RSS Consultancy.
They also were listening to Scott.
They were indeed, so they've had a morning of it, and they're saying, VanillaWeb, that's me, could you mention the Offham Farmers Market this weekend for great Kent food and products? Yes, of course I can.
Ask them if they can send us the website, not as a, you know,
as a short link.
Yeah, so we can actually read it out.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jules.
Offham.
You read a an email, and I'll see if I can find the link.
And I think this is one that you've pinched from the Scoff and Quaff show, because it's about a local chippy.
You didn't have that. No. They sent it to me.
I think that they were trying to get it to me, though, via you.
Just before you start,
yeah,
because you've taken so long now. Just because you've taken so long to do
Should
that
I pause
now,
for breath?
I've already found the website that you didn't know about.
Do you know you're fantastic?
I know.
I've always said this about you.
It's www.spadework.net.
Ah, Spadework, yes. Yeah. Great.
And that has a full list of all the Offham farmers markets throughout the year. And the next one is on Saturday, September the 14th, which will be this Saturday.
And also this weekend, on Sunday, it's the fabulous Aylesford farmers market at Aylesford Priory. It's only the third one, Paul.
I know. I've heard really, really good things about that as well, because it's a fantastic setting for something like that. And I think it was Chris Pollard and the lovely Miriam went to that last weekend, or the last time it was on. Mm. And they said what a fantastic event it was.
And was it just last week that they were on our show? Was it the week before? It's all a blur.
Week
Miriam
before.
Was on. God, it goes very quickly, doesn't it? But Miriam, the author, soon to be published.
And
am I reading this? Or are you just
I don't know. I was kind of waiting.
Well, no, because you were telling me about Offham Farmers Market. You leapt in. Anyway, I'm ready now. Ready?
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, she's ready now, listener.
Now.
It's
now.
Okay, listener. She's ready now.
So now, listener.
Yeah. So we can all pay attention now. Jules is ready.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Yeah.
Then I'll begin.
Listen with mother.
Moe's Fish and Chip Shop. I always preferred, what was it? Noddy. Moe's Fish and Chip Shops of Orpington, Kent, has maintained its place amongst the UK's top fish and chip shops once again, scooping the prestigious Fish and Chip Quality Award. The National Federation of Fish Fryers, the NFFF, the trade body that represents the nation's fish and chip shops, runs the scheme as a way of raising standards within the fish and chip trade and enhancing the profile of the industry. So this scheme is a way of rewarding and promoting shops that provide good quality products and a high standard of hygiene, as well as fryers who show a high level of competence. Now, to qualify, each shop has to go through an inspection by an NFFF approved assessor who assesses the shop's presentation, hygiene and cleanliness, and also, of course, the staff training, equipment, frying and sales skills, and most importantly, the quality of the cooked product. So this is pretty, this is an accolade, because they have to go through a lot of hoops to get this. This is impressive. So this is a new benchmark for quality within the industry. And each Fish and Chip Quality Award is valid for 2 years, and the standards have got to be maintained. So this is Moe's Fish and Chip Shop in Orpington. I'm going to read out a phone number for you in case you want to order them, because what I do, listener, is I pre-order. I find it very good.
She pre-orders in case she happens to find herself at that end of the county without a flask of food on her without her hard-boiled egg in her handbag. She pre-orders some chips.
Now, listen, this hard-boiled egg business, it's really good, the protein. It keeps me perky, I find, after Scoff and Quaff, because otherwise I get sleepy. And I don't just have it loose in my handbag. I have it in a Tupperware, Paul Andrews. Anyway, Moe's Fish and Chips, and that's M-O, the Mo, not with an E on. And it's 92 Crofton Lane, Petswood, Orpington. If you're going by sat-nav, it's B for Bertie, R for Roger, 5, 1, H for Harry, D for Dog. And the phone number is, to pre-order, is 01689838868. See, I took my glasses off because they're a bit loose, if you notice. And I have to squint.
I thought that was really brilliant.
What's tickling you now?
No, Jules' own version of the phonetic alphabet. Yeah.
Roger and Dog.
Yeah.
How did they get together? That's embarrassing. I've actually got a neighbour who had a dog for years. And
it could have been worse. It could have been D for Delphinium.
Well, Roger the dog there. Yeah. But I had a neighbour who had a dog. And for years, my friend and I, who's actually the food inspector of Canterbury, Sarah, she and I for years thought this dog was called Roger, and we always thought it was a really odd name. It's actually called Dodger.
But Dodger.
For years we said, well, why do they call it Roger?
Hey, Roger. Fetch.
If you have any unusual dog names, I bet AK Pet Services has got a few.
Adrian will certainly know some, won't
I do like dogs that are named up, you know, with people names, don't you? Like Cedric and things. Don't you? By the way, Kent Creative Arts, Paul Andrews, they're still looking for individuals to help promote the next 365. So this is, as you know, is an ongoing, for years now, very successful way of getting photographs together. Whitstable fundraising event is Picasso through the eyes of Lee Miller and Roland Penrose. That would be a good name for a dog, wouldn't it? Roland Penrose. I can see a Labrador called Roland, which will take place on the 25th of October of this year. And they're looking for people to help distribute leaflets through the event. You were looking for a paper round, weren't you? So they want people to help distribute leaflets for the event across Whitstable, Faversham and Canterbury, as well as encourage local businesses to display the leaflets on their premises. And that's from Emma. Phone number, I'll get your pen and I'll read that out. First of all, here's the website, which is www.365projects.org. And the number is 01795 597 576. 365, looking for leaflet people in Whitstable, Faversham, Canterbury area.
Cool, thank you for that.
You've got a knapsack, haven't you? You could do that.
Absolutely. I just want to say a big hello as well to all the people that are at the B2B Kent, East Kent today in St. Augustine's in Canterbury. So a big hi to you. If any of the exhibitors are there and you want to give us a shout out for your stand number, please tweet me your stand number and we'll give you a mention on the radio. But for all of you there at the show today, sorry we couldn't be with you, but...
Can they try not to have it on a Tuesday?
No, they deliberately put it on a Tuesday because they wanted us to do an outside broadcast there.
Well, we could, but...
But we had a show already planned, so we couldn't.
We had the Manson special, which...
Which really, we planned in advance, yeah.
I'm very excited about.
Are you?
I've wanted it, well, because I'm so pro-Manston, I really am.
I know you are.
More than anyone in the world,
yeah.
I'm pro-Manston.
No, and in fact, listener, we're all ganging together to buy her a one-way ticket somewhere.
just one way. Can it be somewhere warm, please?
I also want to mention that we've had a tweet from Sally Laker, the lovely Sally Four Cakes.
Oh, yes, you know she's doing a chocolate torty cake for the Great British Bake Off. Did you know that?
I did hear about that.
Yes.
And she's also up for award in the Kent Independent Traders Awards.
Is she?
She is indeed.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, well done, Sally.
We have brilliant partaken stuff of many a lemon drizzle cake, haven't we?
Absolutely. And I've had a tweet from Johnny Jensen, who is at Kent B2B. Hi, Paul, we're on stand 48, and you can come and see me and the Live and Social team helping businesses understand and use social media successfully. And they're at the exhibition, or you can follow them at Johnny Jensen or at Live and Social. And they're on stand 48.
I just want his name, Johnny Jensen. That's so cool.
Cool. I'm going to do an email now.
Beaujolais boy saying, hello. Have a great show, guys. No skydiving now, especially with wearing dresses. LOL, Beaujolais boy. He's on another planet, isn't he?
He is.
Because you were wearing a dress, wasn't it? I was saying last week.
I told you not to mention that.
About your frock. I think that was last week.
I'm really pleased to hear from Ian, actually, because we were only saying the other day, we hadn't heard from Beaujolais boy for a while.
Well, he's probably nipped off, he's lying under a barrel somewhere, isn't he?
Quite often he's found lying under a barrel. Ian is the proprietor of Liquid Pleasure in Centerton High Street, the wine emporium, and he's known on the Twitter as Beaujolais boy, and we haven't heard from him for ages. So Ian, thank you for tweeting in. That's really great to hear from you. I'm going to do this email now.
Go on then.
It says, hi Paul, and not Jules.
Oh, I'm sure they did not say that.
Oh, right.
You've made that up.
Okay. It's that time of year again when we need a bit of boost for our lovely moonlight walk in Herne Bay. I hope that you can help with a shout out on the radio. Of course we can.
Yes.
It's the Moonlight Walk, which is a night to remember, and it's on Friday the 13th. Of September, and she says that's a very lucky night, which it is, of course.
What if it's a full moon?
Yeah, registration is from 6:45 p.m. and the walk starts at 8 p.m. It's a 10 or a 15k flat route, and it goes from King's Hall to Tankerton, and then you turn round.
They come past my house.
Yeah,
they make so much noise.
Well, it says here there's chocolate treats on the way, so I guess that's you, is it? Throwing Mars bars at them.
Yeah.
T-shirt and fundraiser medals. And it's all great value for £15. There's lots of glitzy, flashing accessories to buy and wear, or you can come in your own fancy dress as long as it's very bright.
There you are, you can go.
And there's also live music to get you in the mood. And this is all in aid of the Pilgrims Hospice. And their website for you to register to take part in the Moonlight Walk this Friday evening is pilgrimsmoonlightwalk.org. That's all one word, pilgrimsmoonlightwalk.org. Or you can call them on Canterbury, which is 01227 812 621. That's 01227 812 621. As with everything you hear on the Business Bunker Show, we will put that website link and phone number on the Kent Business Radio website. So if you want to follow up, If you want to book your place on this Friday's Moonlight Walk, you can do that. Please do.
It's a brilliant, brilliant cause.
If you can't make the walk, but you'd still like to donate some money to the Pilgrims Hospice, you can do that by texting CARE303 to 70070. So you donate £3. So you text CARE303 and then a pound sign and three, or five, or ten, or a hundred, however many pounds you want to donate, and you text that to 70070. And the Moonlight Walk is on the 13th of September. That's this Friday.
Yeah.
And there's a Light Up the City Walk of 5K on the 26th of October. And there's a Christmas Fair on the 30th of November. And you can find out all about all of those events by going to www.pilgrimshospice.org for more information.
Fabulous. And that's from the brilliant loads of fundraisers that all work there at Pilgrims Hospice.
That's from Deborah Kelland. Actually sent an email.
That. In person.
Absolutely.
And talking of Christmas fairs, Lenley's in Roper Road, Canterbury, who've got the largest bed selection in Kent.
Is Dennis still there? The head
Dennis
of beds?
Head of beds.
Is he, really?
Brophy, yes. But he's got an assistant now who's a charming young man. I think his name was Simon. I met him once. He's fabulous.
You bounced on a bed with Simon, did you? Yeah.
No, I was one side, he was the other, in case my new husband's listening. They have a Christmas fair, and it's the first one they've ever done. And it's free. So if you are perhaps a new craft person that's not already involved in farmers markets at the weekend and you're not booked up, it's the 14th and 15th off the top of my head. That's December, from about 9:30 till 4. And you can come, and if you're a jewellery maker or any of these little craft Christmassy type people, you can come and do that. Please contact me. That's Jules Serkin, at Jules Serkin. Or Lenley's, and they'll let you know. But we want to see, we've got an ale person coming and a jewellery maker. Cool. But that's a really nice one in Canterbury.
Brilliant, thank you for that. We're really, we're kind of missing our deadlines now as well, and we're getting inundated with tweets.
Do you have deadlines?
Well, kind of. I did have a kind of format, but we're kind of running over a bit because we've been inundated with tweets at the moment, but we'll come to them shortly. Mm-hmm. But do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
Bit of tunage. And then after this bit of tunage... Yeah, we're back from Barbados, we're going to talk to our studio guests.
We're going to talk about Manston.
Yeah, we are.
Manston Airport.
To Bridgetown, Barbados. We will be flying at an height of 32,000 feet and at an airspeed of approximately 600 miles per hour. Refreshments will be served after takeoff. Kindly fasten your safety belts and refrain from smoking until the aircraft is airborne.
Whoa!
Degrees Fahrenheit. The sky is blue and the palm trees are really cool.
Captain Wilcox and his crew hope you have had a pleasant flight and that you will fly coconut degrees again.
Whoa!
Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. Typically tropical there with Barbados. Oh, that brings back some memories. Coconut Airways.
Yeah. Wow. Did you fly with them?
Yeah, well, I remember that from the 70s, that song. That was brilliant. Cool.
Yeah, you must really have been about that. 50 then.
Yeah. What, back in the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but great. I was very impressed with you actually getting a flight song. I mean, that's quite hard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, that's good. Cool.
Doors anyway, to manual.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show our two guests today. We're going to introduce both these gentlemen together because we're kind of all talking about the same subject, but from maybe slightly different angles. But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Mr. Charles Buchanan, who is the Chief Executive of Manson Airport. Hello, Charles.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul.
It's great pleasure to have you on the show. And also Mr. Nicholas Reed, who's Chair of Why Not Manston.
Hello, Paul. Hi.
Hi. Well, thank you for joining us, both of you, gentlemen. I think let's kick off, Charles, with you, and just tell us a little bit about you to start with, how long you've been involved with Manston and how you got involved with Manston, and then we'll go from there, I think.
Okay, I've been at the airport for just over 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I got involved because I firmly believe in the potential of the airport. We all know the debate about airport capacity in the South East and how we're going to carry on meeting the demand as it grows, and as we now see the signs of economic recovery coming, that growth is starting. And we're not building runways anymore. Even if the Airports Commission eventually decides that new runways are to be built, that's 15, 20 years away. We've got to carry on serving the market now. And Manston has a great potential, a great facility to offer into that debate. And I really want to make the most of it.
Absolutely. I mean, my understanding is that Manston's there already, and it has most of the facilities that we need.
Absolutely. I mean, we can carry close to 1 million passengers today. We can carry over 100,000 tonnes of freight today. We're not doing that amount of traffic, but as traffic is squeezed out of the major airports, and as we develop our own links for our own local market, the Kent and South East London and so on, the local markets, so we will be able to grow the business, and that's what we're looking to do.
Absolutely. I mean, it interests me as well, because it's one of those facts that everybody seems to know, that Manston has one of the longest airports in one of the longest runways in Northern Europe.
And the longest airport as well.
Longest runway. But it's interesting, where we are here in Burmarsh, we're just around the corner from Lydd Airport, and Lydd has just been granted planning permission to expand, but before they can do anything, they've got to build a bigger runway.
Absolutely. I mean, Manston has got a very long and indeed very wide runway. It's a legacy of having been built during the war as a bomber station and a recovery station for the RAF in those days. And its continued use during the 50s, 60s by the Americans and then subsequently by the RAF. So we have got that infrastructure in place. As we grow and develop into the medium and long term, clearly we'll need to build more. But at the moment, we've got a huge amount of capacity ready and waiting to be used today.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't want to dwell too much on, the argument about other places, But one of the things that staggers me, and this staggers me from a fairly unusual point of view, I guess, is that my background many, many years ago was working in the city, and I built one of the first electronic banking networks. And one of my skill sets then was a thing called queuing theory, in which you planned a network based on congestion possibilities. And it never fails to amaze me that nobody seems to recognise that if you expand Gatwick, Heathrow, or indeed Stansted, you've also got to expand the M25. Otherwise, you're going to send all the traffic, which is already congested, into more congestion. And nobody ever seems to focus on that. And I don't understand why.
Well, every system is a series of processes. It's the surface access, it's the capacity of the car parks, it's the in terms of airports, it's the numbers of check-in desks, the lanes in security, it's the gates and the departure lounge, and then the aircraft and the capacity of the runway to take aircraft movements on and off.
Right.
All of those things have to be aligned. There is no point in having the biggest terminal in the world if you can't feed it with passenger traffic coming in and you can't handle the aircraft going out. That does nobody any good at all.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, my eldest son travelled to Amsterdam a few weeks ago via Manston, and he texted me when he got to Amsterdam, and he said that was staggeringly, stupidly simple.
Yeah.
He said, it took me 20 minutes to drive to Manston, I parked outside the front door, I got on the plane, and 30 minutes later I was in Amsterdam.
And if you got the message from him on the way home, that's the one that really hits people, because once you've been away, you've been on your business trip or your holiday, the wheels touch the ground on the runway, and actually what you're thinking about is, God, I just want to get home.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And go through your local airport, go through Manston, it'd take you, maybe 3 minutes to pick up your bag, and then 2 minutes to walk to the car, 10-minute drive, and the amount of people who say to me, how fantastic.
Yeah.
15 minutes after landing, I was at home with a glass of wine in my hand.
It is.
It's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's touch on that, because I think your tie-up with Air France KLM began the scheduled flights to Schiphol in April, I think.
Yes, yep. Beginning of April.
Because we had Henri on, didn't we?
Henri Orcard from Air France was on the show.
You did?
Yeah.
Yep.
Which was brilliant. So how's that working out, Charles? Tell us a little bit. For those listeners that don't know, that have been living in a cave for the last 3 months, tell us a little bit about the scheduled flights that you have.
Right. Amsterdam and then the world. That's the key message.
Right.
Amsterdam is designed as an airport to connect services, regional services and worldwide network services. So it provides an opportunity for people from Kent to travel a quick hop across the south end of the North Sea to Amsterdam, and an hour or two's connection and on to anywhere in the world.
Mm.
We operate two services a day. There are departures first thing in the morning at 6:20 in the morning and at 10:40 in the morning, and the return flights come in at just about 10 o'clock and then 8:40 in the evening.
Right.
The aircraft stays overnight to be the first flight out in the morning. So you can do a day trip. You can go at 6 or indeed 10:30 on the outbound journey, come back in the evening, have a nice day in Amsterdam. Or you can go for longer and go further. And that's the key to it. It's not only giving Kent access to the world, but it's most importantly giving the world access to East Kent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
And things are going fine. They're going well. We're getting people travelling all over the world. Mm. Regularly I'm talking to passengers who are going to Mexico or North America or Asia, China, Africa particularly.
Fantastic.
Because you can buy through tickets from through your website, can you not?
Absolutely. You can buy tickets from all sorts of channels, but the important thing is you check in all the way through. So you check in at Manston, you drop your bag off there, and you pick it up in Johannesburg.
Right. No, absolutely.
So you've made it very simple.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It is complete. The idea is to be hassle-free, to be quick and easy. As you've already said, there's no distance from the car park to the terminal. Mm. There's no queuing. There's no.
But it is incredibly civilised. Yes. I mean, I flew years ago with EU.
Yeah,
it's flying flying should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a reputation a while back, and you've had a go at me about this as well. I've been very curmudgeonly about holidays. And people say to me, "Charlie's boy, you never go on holiday," and I go, why do I want to spend a week at Heathrow? Why would I want to do that? Mm. And they go, well, what do you mean? I go, well, by the time you've driven around the M25, you've got to the airport, you know, they've kindly lost your bags for you, and you know, it's not a holiday. I'm not relaxed, and I'm not feeling good. But with a local airport like Manston, that doesn't exist. As you said, you know, it's 10 minutes. You drive there, you get out of the car, you walk into the building, yeah. You get on a plane, you get off a plane. What could be better?
There are all sorts of other advantages as well. You have friendly human service. Mm. You see the same faces. If you're a regular traveller, you'll be checked in by the same girls, by Marta and Kelly and the others who run the customer service. The security team. Normally, when you're going through a big airport, you are confronted with, you know, those faceless security officers who are out to trip you up somewhere or other. Mm. You know, going through a little local airport, you see the same security team every day.
Yeah.
And they're there, and they treat you like a human. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Mm. It's providing human service, giving you a sense of flying as a pleasure instead of, you know, a trip to a shopping centre.
I'm smiling when you said that about security. A couple of years ago, I was going through Miami Airport, and I was stopped at security, and they wanted to search my handbag. And I'd actually bought a gift I just hadn't thought about it. I bought a gift for my then father-in-law, which was a thing called a Leatherman, which is a multi-purpose tool. And it was quite a big one as well. And it had like a knife on it and a hammer and a pair of pliers.
Like
and
all kinds of Swiss Army thing.
Yeah, yeah, it was like a giant Swiss Army thing.
Yeah.
And the security guard got out and, oh, Leatherman, put it on the table. And he went, you've got nail scissors. You can't take those. And I went, sorry? And he went, no, you can't take those. So he confiscated the nail scissors and put the Leatherman back in my bag. And I thought, I think you missed the plot there, mate.
One of the things that we do, again, it's sort of service that a little airport can provide, which large ones don't. If you have, you know, some family heirloom of a penknife that you happen to be taking with you, if you go through Heathrow or Gatwick, in the bin. Yeah. That's it, last you see of it.
Yeah.
With us, we'll hold it for you.
Wow.
On your way back, come and pick it up.
Yeah.
You can't fly with it, sure. But yeah, we're not going to chuck it in the bin.
Seriously, we didn't set this up, listener. Seriously, that actually happened to me at Heathrow. I had a silver penknife, and it was only... Mm-hmm. I'm holding my hand up as if you can see it, listener. It's only an inch and a half long. It was like a miniature key ring.
I'm not going to say any of my jokes about men
and inches,
because we're having a sensible show today.
It was an heirloom. It was a gift given to me by someone very special, and it was on my key ring. And you couldn't have stabbed anything with it.
Mm.
But the security people took it off me and threw it away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I've often thought that you could take an envelope, at least post it back to yourself or something. Mm. But that's service. That's
brilliant. There is another airport that I've worked at in the past where they have precisely that, Jules. They have a dispensing machine. Mm. You put your £3 in and you get a jiffy bag, stamped jiffy bag.
All right.
Great idea.
The stamp only costs you 60p and the envelope about 10p, and they still charge you £3 for it, but you have kept...
At least.
Your silver penknife.
Absolutely, yeah, and it was worth it
for me to have done that. Well, it's just hideous to see all that stuff going in a bin.
Yeah.
You know, it's wrong.
Hmm.
You're presumably bringing a lot more jobs to Thanet, to local Thanet people. Tell us about that.
We currently employ about 150 people. As the airport ourselves,
right.
There are probably about 100 other jobs working at the airport, not us. There's a travel agency there. There's the cafe that is operated there that we don't actually run ourselves.
Mm.
There are aircraft engineering companies. There's also the border force people and the police people who manage the traffic and so on. So there are a whole
drug
range
dogs?
Of...
Any drug dogs?
Yes.
Spaniels?
Yes, very nice spaniels,
drug
actually.
Dogs.
Any of them called Roger?
No, Cecil. There is a Cecil.
We did get an email from somebody in the early days of the KLM service saying how nice the dogs were.
Oh
really?
Yeah. Wasn't one I was expecting, but there we go. We took credit for it. So there are probably 250 people whose jobs relate to the operation of the airport, and the vast majority of those are local. I can speak about our own staff because I know about them, but 60% of those 150 live in Thanet.
Right.
The other 40%, almost all, live in Dover and Canterbury. Mm. So they are all very local. So it's local jobs for local people.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're bringing people in from abroad, there would be the knock-on effect with hotels around Kent, B&Bs around Kent.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly given that the KLM service, KLM operate out of Amsterdam to a whole range of different regional airports in the UK. So the fact that people are choosing to come to Manson means they are looking to come to Kent. That's their destination. And so that's the opportunity for the hotels and the restaurants, the bars and the shops and the attractions and so on.
Interestingly, when Manson first told us that they were tying up with KLM to do these daily schedule, this was kind of like 6 months before they started. We started talking to lots of people that we know, and just you know, on LinkedIn and all the social media outlets that we inhabit, and asking people why or why not in terms of Manston. And one of the biggest groups of feedback, and I just wondered if you've seen any significant traffic from this group so far. One of the significant groups of people that were very excited about it were students in Canterbury, who, for various reasons, tend to do lots of weekend trips to Amsterdam.
I wonder why. The tulips, it must be the tulips.
Well, obviously, and clogs.
Yes, Max Bygraves.
Yeah, but there were lots of organisations based in Canterbury that were doing coach trips to Amsterdam and Brussels and places like that. And a lot of the students went, wow, not only is this quicker and easier, but it's actually cheaper than the coach. And I don't know if you've seen much student traffic so far.
Not that I've picked up on the sort of the weekend trip, but what we are doing is providing a service for some of the overseas students.
Right.
There's quite a big overseas student population at Kent, University of Canterbury.
Yeah.
And they are realising that they don't have to fly from India or China or wherever they're coming from into Heathrow and then find their way as a first person, first time in this country, and try and find their way to Canterbury. They can land at the airport just up the road.
And that could be really quite expensive as well for a student coming from Heathrow or Gatwick to Canterbury by the time you've done loads of trains in and out of London.
Such a long day.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Such a long journey on top.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's not just the students there, but also the language schools that operate in all our coastal towns.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, there's quite a few universities in Canterbury as well, because you've got the two main ones, and there's also Chaucer, which is the Japanese university, and the American university there as well, as well as a branch of University College London at Wye. So, no, absolutely. So, from your point of view, Charles, as the operator of the airport, what do you want to see that would help you to expand the airport? What does it take for Manston to start to, I nearly said take off, but that would be a really awful pun, wouldn't it? What's the next step?
Every conversation about airports is full of cliches.
Yeah, yeah,
do with flying and taking off. And, it'll never fly and things like that. What we need is, I think first and foremost, we need at a macro level, at a big picture level, economic growth. We need confidence in the economy, people travelling again, people spending again.
Yeah.
That's what we need, and we're beginning to see the signs of that. Yeah. We also need some government encouragement for airlines to start using the spare capacity as opposed to just queuing up to fill ever fuller, you know, Heathrow and Gatwick and so on. So encouragement of that, and a particular tool that they have at their disposal is air passenger duty. Right. Air passenger duty is a tax on departing passengers from the UK. It's a tax which we in this country levy at 8 or 9 times higher than anyone else in Europe.
Right, okay.
And it can produce a really expensive element to people using UK airports. And it's one of the reasons that, for instance, Chinese, there are 6 times as many Chinese families visiting Paris as they are London.
Right.
The reason? A family of 4 pays over £400 worth of tax.
Blimey.
Just to come into just to get out of the UK.
Yeah.
They don't pay that when they go to Paris. Well, why not go to Paris?
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Right.
And so something like that to reduce the air passenger duty at small and uncongested airports, and if necessary, make a small tweak upwards at the congested airports, makes it fiscally neutral. The government still gets the same amount of money. But there is an incentive then for airlines to say, we can develop services from this less used capacity. And that would be a really important incentive the government can provide.
I'm not only am I smiling, I'm almost on the point of hysterically laughing, because that would be far too sensible for government, really, wouldn't it? In a completely different context, I did a programme on another radio station last week about the Mary Portis report into retail. And of course, one of the biggest things about retail is, again, this tax portion of uniform business rates that are levied, and the fact that uniform business rates are levied by central government, which a lot of people don't realise. And most of the money goes back to central government. And of course, across the UK, it's uniform, where of course there is no such thing as a uniform high street. And, you know, we should be able to incentivise some and disincentivise others, if you see what I mean, in exactly the way that you've just said, because that should be. And politicians do claim this sometimes with things like cigarettes and alcohol, for instance. They claim that the high duty is to dissuade people from doing it.
Yeah.
So by the same token, they should use the tax to persuade people to do what they want them to do and use smaller and more regional airports.
Absolutely. I think there's one other thing that government centrally and locally can do, and that is to improve the rail access.
Mm.
We have the high-speed line running straight past the airport.
Right.
Or at least we have the high-speed train not running at high speed. That's the issue.
Yes.
You do 37 minutes from St Pancras to Ashford. You do another 37 minutes and it's Ashford to Canterbury.
Yeah.
Right. It's so slow.
Frustrating.
It is very frustrating. Mm. Mm. And there are plans in hand but need funding and need committing to that can knock 15 minutes off the journey time so that Ramsgate... or Thanet Parkway, as a new station would be called,
right.
To central London would be about an hour.
Okay.
And that would make a big
difference. Huge difference, yeah.
How far is Thanet Parkway away from the airport?
It's probably about half a mile from the boundary fence.
Okay. And would you have shuttles?
Yes, we'd have to have shuttles.
That's fantastic. Could you not call it Manston?
Thanet
Parkway?
There would be I'm sure there'll be a big debate about what it actually gets called, but the idea is for it to provide a central centre of the island facility that serves all the towns of the island, the villages of the island, and the airport as well, and provides a focus there.
So, I mean, basically, the principle behind it is you have a high-speed train.
Yeah.
If you then take the high-speed train and trawl it round the Kent coast, no matter how hard you try, it can't be high speed because you've got to stop between Margate and Ramsgate and Broadstairs and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm.
So you have a central station where you can go and access a hub. And also, just for the sake of it, the cost of putting that rail line in versus the cost of Boris Island or... And in a few lanes to the M25 is a bit of a no-brainer, really, isn't it?
Charles, you must jump up and down when you see all this Boris Island thing. Come on, tell us how you feel when you're reading about Boris Island and you're there with the longest airport and all ready to go.
I think there is a common misperception that Manston's development is the alternative to Boris Island. It is not.
Sure.
My view, the answer is a whole system of developments. It's developing Manston, it's developing the regional airports, it's also developing the existing main airports.
Yeah.
The key problem that we need to not fall into is waiting for one big solution. If Boris Island were decided to be the answer, we would not get any additional capacity in the networks, in the airport capacity networks in the southeast for 20 years.
Yeah.
Waiting for that to be built. Nobody could justify the investment in their own airports because of this big new facility that was going to open in the future.
Yeah.
And in 20 years' time, we'll be log-jammed.
Right.
And so we've got to develop incrementally, stage by stage, bit by bit. And you do that by encouraging the use of underutilised capacity and providing additional bits of capacity at the other existing airports. That's the facility, that's the route to follow. That's what we've submitted to the Airports Commission. And, you know, airports can fulfil a bigger or lesser role depending on their commercial position.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, one of my endless theories and rants about all kinds of things is that we are actually, if you look at business as a whole and look at society as a whole, we've had a short-lived, historically, and this may interest Nicholas, our next guest, who's a bit of a historian. But if you look at this, bigness is only a phenomenon of the 20th century, where we discovered mass production and mass this and mass that. And already you can see that fracturing. And you can see that fracturing in a number of ways. You know, first of all, the big banks have all gone kaput. Big pharmaceutical companies are starting to wind down. Bigness has come to its the end of its useful life because new technology has facilitated the ability to do things in a small way. So I totally agree and see it as part of the same pattern, that what we should be developing is a series of smaller regional things rather than one or two big hubs for everything and directing everything at the same place. I don't know if this is something that you're involved in at all or not, but are there other regional airports that you kind of, I don't know, gang together with to try and put pressure on the government?
Airports do gang together. We have a trade association. Everyone in Britain has to have a trade association.
Yes, really.
I think the French say as soon as two Frenchmen are gathered together, you have a party. As soon as two British people gather together, you've got an industry body.
Yeah.
Yes, there's the Airport Operators Association, which represents the airport operators industry across the UK and lobbies hard with government. But it represents everybody from Heathrow at one end to Lyd at the other end.
Right.
So there's a whole range of interests there, and sometimes it's quite difficult to come to a common view across the industry.
Mm.
We are ploughing our own furrow,
yeah,
we're making our own representations to the government, talking to our MPs and so on to get the debate swung in favour of the development of Manson.
Cool. Good. Look, for a moment, let's take a break. Let's play another record, and then we'll come back to Charles and Nick after that.
What are you playing?
I don't drink coffee, I take tea, my dear. My toast on one side. You can hear it in my accent when I talk. I'm an Englishman in New York. You see me walking down Fifth Avenue. A walking cane here at my side. Hero of the day.
With the Business Bunker.
Ah, that was Sting and the Police, an Englishman in New York.
Nice bit of sax at the end there.
They flew via Manson, obviously.
They did, of course.
Cool. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome our second guest to the studio, Mr. Nicholas Reed, who is the chair of Why Not Manston campaign. Nicholas, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker.
Thank you.
Why not Manston?
Well, we've already heard from Charles a lot of reasons why it's brilliant flying from Manston and so much better than flying for other airports. I mean, the obvious point is it's there at the end of Kent. For that matter, not only is it easier for almost anyone in Kent to fly from Manston than to have to go to the other side of London through all that traffic and everything else. But for that matter, Manston is, you fly straight off over the sea. Within less than half an hour, you're already above the continent. So you save half an hour of flying time just flying from West London to get to East Kent if you're going from one of the other big airports.
Absolutely. Just on that, because that was one of the things that some people say to me, and I used to be as bad at this as well. I would go, well, the trouble with East Kent, certainly out in Thanet, is it's a long way from anywhere. Now, I live in Tenterton, and I've been to Manston half a dozen, 8 or 9 times in the last year, and every time I go, I got here early because I leave too long, and it's because the road has actually been improved an awful lot. And it's actually quite quick to get there.
Well, you've got motorways both from the west and from the south, so almost any part of Kent you can get there on a motorway.
Absolutely. Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but you know, it's one of the things that so many people say, oh, well, you know, it's a bit difficult to get to. It isn't.
It's a double.
It's actually really easy
and
quick.
It's also a really pleasant drive.
Well, you're going, you know, you're going against the traffic, really, so there's nothing coming at you, you know. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to interrupt, Nick. Yeah.
Well, anyway, that was...
He will interrupt you again, don't he?
Yeah. It's what I'm good at.
And I mean, incredibly cheap parking compared with going to those major airports.
How much is it
airports.
To park, Nicholas?
Charles will be the one who
Charles.
Knows exactly. I did
roughly.
It once in April.
Charles.
Yeah. Oh, it's much cheaper. It's £12 I think for a day. But please don't quote me on that. Otherwise, I'll get complaints. I haven't got the car parking prices in front of me.
Well, I know when I flew with EUJet, I was just gobsmacked at how reasonable it was. And as we said, quick.
I think it was something like £30 for the week when I did it. And as Charles says, it's 2 minutes from the terminal.
Yeah.
So that's the key thing, though, isn't it? With the whole of this thing, is that if you go to Heathrow or Gatwick. And as well as the huge parking costs, the car park's like 5 miles away. You know, you've got to get a bus or a cab to the car park. And that adds so much to the time. And I think Charles's point earlier about coming home from a holiday or a trip, that's the time when you really don't need that. And you think, oh, where's the bus to the car park? You get to the car park. And if you're like me, you've been away for a week, you think...
Yeah.
There's only 40,000 cars here,
yeah.
And I can't remember what row mine was in.
Yeah,
you know,
and you're tired, and you're
tired,
so you just
want
to get home and put your feet up and have a proper cup of tea.
Yeah,
sorry. The other point that Charles made, but it needs emphasising, is that you can get almost anywhere from Manston because you change at Schiphol, and then there are all sorts of airlines going from Schiphol to anywhere. I mean, I looked up recently going to Naples, and on the first website I tried, it implied that they didn't go to Naples. But then as soon as I tried breaking breaking it into two, lo and behold, there were three or four Naples flights a day. You've got to look at something like Expedia or Skyscanner. They're the ones that deal with all the airlines, and that then tells you an incredible number of planes going there.
I mean, so now we can actually get to Abu Dhabi, for example, can't we, which I love. You know, the really great locations that you're going to, destinations.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because once you make something local, you start to think about it more in local terms. Because people are used to travelling from major airports, they tend to think of a journey from a major airport. So you look up a flight from Heathrow, for instance, to somewhere, and that's the sum total of what you do. If you're going from if you're more focused on a local thing, it's like a bus journey or a train journey or any other kind of journey. You plan your journey, don't you? Because if you get the train from somewhere in Kent, you don't start by looking at trains from London. You start by looking at trains from your local station to a suitable hub.
But there's another thing that struck me, Nicholas, when I phoned Manson to book you charming gentlemen onto the show. I phoned up, left a message. And, you know, it's just like phoning a proper office. Can you imagine trying to phone Heathrow and trying to get the CEO on? But straight away, Charles phoned me back, and it was fantastic. So personal, really personal. Yes.
That's right.
Charles sometimes even answers the telephone himself.
If he's not out on the runway with some ping-pong bats.
And also it struck me, the last time I came through Heathrow, a couple of weeks ago, certainly the terminals I went to, incredibly poor signage, virtually nothing telling you where to go. And then even when I was trying to find out where I could have something to eat before, because I was staying overnight to get one of these impossible 7 o'clock in the morning from Heathrow planes, I looked all around Terminal 1, eventually asked a member of staff where there was something to eat. Oh, there's no way you can eat in Terminal 1. No, you'd have to go to one of the other terminals. And then by the time I got to one of the other terminals, they weren't serving or whatever.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, for one of the five terminals at Heathrow, all because of everything's being rebuilt the whole time. Perhaps that's why the signage is so poor. And but if you're rebuilding, you've got to change the signage each time it changes.
And in that time, Nicholas, you could have flown to Schiphol, to Abu Dhabi, and had a lovely stuffed
had
camel.
Had lunch, come back and caught your plane.
Yeah, stuffed camel. Little camel stuff with a sheep, stuff with a quail, and come back.
That's right. I mean, of course, I set up Why Not Manston because I felt that the case for Manston really wasn't being made by ordinary people as strongly as it could be.
Sure.
There were some antis around at one time, though they almost seem to have disappeared now. It's only the Why Not Manston's only been going for a year. It was triggered off, actually, by a different radio programme where they said, every time we have a discussion about the airports, we're always inundated by people ringing us up saying, why not Manston? And it's a very good question, why not? One of the interesting shifts in the argument now seems to be things like Boris Island, which, as you may know, the latest quote is it's going to cost £70 million to build in the middle of the sea. So even Boris himself seems to have gone a bit quieter than that now, and he now seems to be supporting the appalling proposal from Lord Foster for building around the Isle of Grain, which was extremely topical 10 years ago, and it all went quiet on that. But at least the only advantage is that you'd be building on dry land, or marshy but dry land. And now, in fact, it costs a bit less to build there. But there is massive opposition because of all the damage it would do to wildlife, special scientific, whatever, places of scientific interest, and all the stuff on the Isle of Grain that really make it unworkable. One of the brilliant things about Manston is there's nothing in the way. There is no special site of scientific interest. There certainly isn't a nuclear power station anywhere nearby, which I'm afraid is one of the problems that LID still has to face. And for that matter, they could always build a second runway at Manston if somebody was willing to pay for it, because there's so much empty space that could be used. So it really is, as Charles says, a great potential, and it's just not being used. As he says, why build in the middle of the sea when Manston's already there?
Yes.
Absolutely. One of the things that struck a chord with me that when you were speaking there, Nicholas, and you're absolutely right, is there's this odd reverse NIMBYism that we have with Manston. So many people say, yeah, Manston, yeah, and they actually live around it. We all live very close to it.
Yeah.
And we'll go, yeah, yeah, Manston, we want Manston. Whereas normally you get this big, oh, we don't want that here. we want it, but we don't want it here. And there isn't the same level of that I see around here. So many local people are actually in favour of Manston.
That's absolutely right, Paul. There is an enormous groundswell of support in the local community for Manston. It's partly the jobs that we provide, and Thanet is crying out for jobs.
Absolutely,
it's the jobs that we could provide in the future. We produced a report a little while ago showing that if we grow in line with our plans for the next 8 or so years, we could be supporting jobs for 3,000 people in the local community and provide a value of £60 million into the local economy each year. Mm. I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity.
Absolutely.
And people recognise that.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to capitalise on.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there are 2,900 people unemployed in Thanet, so that would cure that problem overnight, really, wouldn't it?
Cool. Well, yes. We'd have to make sure they're all trained suitably.
Of course, yeah, of course.
We've got a tweet coming in from Whitstable Stove Shop, which says, very interesting listening to Charles and Nicholas, and we took a trip to Amsterdam, Schiphol, from Manson, and it was a mere puddle jump. So easy, great service, very relaxed in comparison. So that's Whitstable Stove Shop.
Cool, thank you. So, Nicholas, you started this Why Not Manston campaign, in terms of the campaign, who have you primarily directed it at? Is it directed at the government? Is it just a focal point for people to register their approval?
I felt it was important that now there's this great Davis Commission that's going to come out with its big report in 2015, they think, that there should be a groundswell of opinion from ordinary people, not just the airport as a business trying to push itself, as it were, but to show that there's massive support from ordinary people.
Absolutely.
And again, I know a previous phone-in, the person who, in fact, came, I think, from West London, she was chairing it, and she said, I'm very struck at how all the opposition seems to be to building a new airport, whether it's in the estuary or whether it's in the Isle of Grain. We're not getting, I think she said, we're not getting any calls from people around Thanet saying, oh, don't build it here or don't make it any bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, for goodness sake, at the moment we've only got, what is it, 2 planes flying off a day.
Mm.
People aren't really going to object if there are 4 planes flying off
Absolutely.
A day, giving an increased service.
Absolutely.
Well, they nip over my house. I'm in Tankerton and they nip over, and I just wish I was on one going to have a camel in Abu Dhabi.
You go out plane spotting, don't you, with your binoculars?
Well, I do that, and of course the people that sink in the sea, I will spot them.
No, she phoned me once. She said, there's this really, really, really big plane lumbering around over the bay. And I went, oh, don't worry about it, it's landing at Manston. And she went, oh, is it? And
it was huge, nearly took my chimney off. there's a tweet here for Nicholas and Charles from Kent International Business. And they said that they're doing an international UKTI, what's that, Paul, UKTI? UKTI event.
UK Trade and Industry.
Thank you. Event. That's why I do this show with you, because you're so clever.
No, Charles told me.
Charles is even more clever.
He's even more clever.
event they're doing is called Doing Business in the Netherlands at Manston, and it's on the 24th of October.
Oh, cool.
So I shall write about that in my business column.
Yeah, and we'll give that some promotion. Yeah
please send me details and
Absolutely.
I'll pop it in.
Perhaps I could also mention we in Why Not Manston are having a big meeting on Friday the 18th of October for the general public. Anyone who's interested in the whole idea will have various speakers. I'm hoping Charles will be there and there'll be other people around. And that's going to be at Bay Point, which is near Sandwich.
Brilliant.
Oh, yes, Bay
Not
Point.
Not far from. And that's at 6 o'clock on that Friday.
On the date again?
The date is Friday the 18th of October at 6 o'clock. In fact, to some extent, it's making up for the fact that until last year, there was a consultative meeting with all the various interests coming, and that was last October, I think it was. It was very well attended. In fact, we were expecting some opponents at least to turn up and start arguing, but none of them did.
No.
Never quite sure why. But anyway, this year, as that was, I think, a meeting which had been set up and was being run by Thanet for some years, but impartially. But when they suddenly announced, or didn't even announce, that when the chairman of it contacted them, they said, oh, we've decided to discontinue that. I don't quite know whether, because Thanet hadn't been, the council have certainly not been very supportive of Manston in the way they behave. And I do wonder whether, once they had a meeting that was in favour of it, Thanet then says, well, I don't think we want another meeting. So we thought, they had a meeting. So we thought, right, we need a meeting like that to discuss it.
Nicholas is coming in here.
I think, Nicholas, you've got a couple of things just confused. There is a working party of the council which has been discontinued. The Airports Consultative Committee is set up in government legislation. It is not discontinued. It meets in private, a closed session once a quarter, and there is a public meeting once a year, and that will be coming up in the next month or so.
Okay, great. Cool. Nice to
hear that. Good. We will give some publicity to the meeting that you're going to hold at Bay Point, and hopefully get some more people along to that. If people want to participate in your group, Why Not Manston, how can they find out more about it?
Yes, we've got a website, which is all the W's, then whynotmanston.org, right. Short for organisation. And basically, if you go on that website, and there's a list of things you can click on. If you click on contact, it talks about becoming a paid-up member or whatever, and there's a lot about that. But you can easily just become a supporter if you give us your name and email address. Then we can send you regular newsletters. We've had, I think, six email newsletters in just over a year, and that tells you what's happening, tells you if there are new services being offered by KLM, and it means that they can keep in touch with things. And by the same token, there's a room for comments at the end, so if you've got a particular expertise, something relating to air flights generally, or a particular experience you might have had, then you can send that to us. There's no charge for that, so you can become a free supporter, or if you want to pay £10 and you become a member, and then you can vote at AGMs, all those sort of boring bureaucratic things. But what we need is more supporters to show just what a massive number of people do support.
Well, we need people to use the airport and change the whole mindset of going to Gatwick and Stansted.
It's about people thinking about it and more and more recognising that to even think about it and look. As I said, my eldest son Jamie went to Amsterdam, and then since then he's been on about three stag weekends. And now, sorry about this, Charles, but now the first thing they go is, can we get there from Manston?
Yeah.
That's the first thing they ask, rather than the last thing. And that changed due to their good experiences the first time they went to Schiphol.
That's a very common experience with regional airports, that people take ownership of the airport. They start planning their journeys around where they can get to from their local airport, because they don't want to face the mayhem of the roadworks on the M25, the cattle market that is a major terminal at a major airport. They're going away for a weekend, they're going to have a good time, they want to make it free, simple,
start the
easy,
holiday immediately.
Absolutely. And especially on short journeys, weekends away. Why do you want to spend half of it at a major airport? You don't. You just want to get where you're going and enjoy yourself.
Well, you have to allow an extra 2 hours if you're going on the M25, just in case, or if you're going to Stansted or Gatwick, just in case.
That just in case time eats up, doesn't it?
It swallows up
all your planning. And I mean, as you yourself said, Paul, you put in that just in case time. When you go into Manston, you don't use it. You're always there early. It's very simple.
So you were saying the easiest way to book, gentlemen, is Skyscanner and things like that, or can we go onto the website? I want to just find where it goes?
There's a variety of ways. You can link through from Manston Airport's website, mansonairport.com. Simple. You can link through to the KLM website. KLM, of course, will sell you the network services that they offer. So KLM from start to finish. And their network partners. But if, like Nicholas was describing, you're connecting across two different airlines, then go onto one of those other websites, the Apodo, Expedia, Skyscanner, any of those, and you can mix and match your airlines. You can book all the way through, you ticket all the way through, your bag gets checked in all the way through, you don't have to pick it up at each stop and recheck it in. It's a very simple way of doing things. And there are 130 destinations from Amsterdam on the KLM network. There are 300 destinations from Amsterdam with everybody's networks. So really, the world really is your oyster.
Right. Cool.
Perhaps I should also mention that there is now, we've just decided to have a sort of business membership for Why Not Manston, and for £25 any business can send us £25 and become business supporters of Manston, which will give a better idea of how many local businesses would like to see Manston used more often, as they're presumably hoping to do. So,
absolutely.
As well as paying the £10 as an individual, then business membership £25 might look like quite a bargain, given all the information we're then able to give them.
Fantastic.
And the other thing that just springs to mind, Paul, is, of course, it'll now be a link on our website, on Business Bunker, on your website. Mm-hmm. So if you do want to book, you can go onto the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and go straight through to Manston Airport from that link.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look at where they go.
So now you can book your holidays through this radio station.
You can. Yeah. You're now a travel agent.
Absolutely.
Paul Andrews, as well as everything else.
Absolutely. Look, we could talk about this for days and days and days because it's a fascinating subject. And I think the vast majority of us, certainly in East Kent at least, are really pro-supporters of Manston. And we wish it much success. And we also congratulate them on the things they've achieved so far. Because Manston has had a bit of a chequered past in the past. And, you know, Charles has turned that around. He's got KLML France working out of there. We now need to use that. As the people of Kent and as the businesses of Kent, we need to use the facilities that have been provided for us. And the more we do that, the more it will grow naturally anyway. We don't have to persuade anybody of anything if more of us use it in any case, because then it grows its service naturally. So if you want to use a local airport that has access to the world on your doorstep, I suggest you book through Manston. For the moment, Charles Buchanan, Chief Executive of Manston Airport, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Nicholas Reid, the Chair of Why Not Manston, thank you as well, Nicholas.
Thank you, Paul.
Do stay with us for the last few minutes of the show, gentlemen. We've got a gazillion tweets to catch up on. We've got a million emails, so we'll go on from there. I want to read this. This originally came in as a tweet, but I actually printed it off as well because I thought it was important. And it was a tweet from Jackie Offen.
Oh, yes. Hello, Jackie.
And she is reminding us of something that's coming up later in the year, which is a winter charity ball in aid of the Emile Forey Foundation. And it's Reaching Children Through Horses. And it's being held at Port Lynn Mansion and Gardens on November the 16th. And it's being sponsored by USF Dressage. And you can find out all about it and you can book your tickets by going to their website, which is www.usfdressage.com. .co.uk/winter-charity-ball. So that's www.usfdressage.co.uk/winter-charity-ball. So do check that out, please. Can you read some top-down tweets?
I'd love to. Yes, I really would. And also a big hello to SOS Computers, who said listening to Business Bunker is the highlight of their day.
And I also noticed, Billy Dean. I also noticed, Billy, with SOS Computers, you're now able to pay your bill through a mobile wallet.
I know.
What a good idea that is.
Must be one of the first businesses to do that. Yeah. Very, very rock and roll.
Nice one, Billy.
Billy Dean. Mm. And
is he out of your wardrobe yet?
He's out of my wardrobe, but
he escaped, did he?
Is there a bank holiday coming up?
I'm sure there is. Mm. Billy, run now. don't answer the phone, mate.
Now, this is a standing joke that goes on every week. You'd have to listen to the archives, Charles and Nicholas, to know. Right, we've got one for golfers here to enjoy and non-golfers to laugh at. Jack Nicklaus famously said, success depends almost entirely on how effectively you learn to manage the game's two ultimate adversaries, the course and yourself. The course is down to your course management. So you, however, have a different issue. With you, the real answer lies in being resilient, adaptable, and able to block out negative thoughts and negative self-talk and stop blaming your clubs. So Mind Fit Golf has a proven way of helping you do just that. And when you master it, that only takes focused practice. Your golf will improve, we guarantee it. There is a website here to get a free ebook, so get ready with a pen. This is from Neville Gaunt, who's an avid listener of the Business Bunker. Hello, Neville. It's www.mindfitlimited.com/free-golf-book. So that sounds like a good one.
Cool. I've got loads of tweets here.
Have you got
Barn Dance at the Farm.
Oh, that'll be good for you.
Yeah, it says, hi, Paul, it's Ellie Beer here. Hello, Ellie. Please give our New Year's Eve party a shout out. Blimey.
Cool. That's the first.
The Christmas, yeah.
That's the first.
The tickets are now on sale at kentvenues.co.uk/Christmas-party. So thank you for that. So if you want to start booking your New Year's Eve party now, blimey, you can. I suppose it's September, isn't it? And you can follow them on the Twitter. And their Twitter handle is @awesomenye party. Awesome NYE party. So do follow them on the Twitter. Hey, guess what?
What?
Guess who just walked into our studio? He's gone out again now.
Is it someone with pie?
It's a guest that's on the show after hours, which is Extra Milk.
Is it David Bowie?
It's David Bowie's drummer.
Really?
Phil Lancaster.
Oh,
he's just walked into the studio. And he's just walked out. Everybody's looked and there's no one there, but he's just walked out again. Phil Lancaster, who was the drummer in
is he a spider?
Lower Third, which was David Bowie's first band.
Wow.
And he is on the Kevin Can Show at 3 o'clock.
I must go and put my lipstick on.
Yeah, so have a listen to that.
Same as you.
We've had a tweet from PH Accountancy in Whitstable.
Yes,
Andy Page.
Hello, Andy.
I've got to do a bit of clicking here.
While you're clicking, I'm just going to say that Kevin Hadlow has said to Charles and Nicholas, very important for the area. My local airport in Southend is growing at a huge rate. And that's Kevin Hadlow of Dobby's. Carry on, Paul.
Now, Charles is going to say something
all
about
right.
Southend Airport.
Carry on,
yeah,
Charles.
Yeah, Southend's a really good example. A couple of years ago, Southend was operating at the same sort of level as we are on the passenger side, about sort of 30,000 passengers, 30,000, 40,000 passengers a year. They secured 3 EasyJet aircraft that were moved from Stansted to Southend, and as a result of having those 3 aircraft based at the airport and the services that they provide, they'll be carrying 1 million passengers this year.
Wow.
Okay.
Just one simple step. That's the sort of transformation that can happen.
Right.
They built a new terminal. They're now expanding the terminal. They built a railway station. That's the sort of investment that can come on the back of a successful regional airport.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go for it. Let's
can't
make
you,
it happen.
Can't you buy a plane or something, Paul?
Buy a plane.
Go and get
a
jumbo.
Yeah. I'm like
sell
that.
A Porsche and get a jumbo.
Yeah.
Or 2.
Yeah. I nearly bought a MiG once.
What's a MiG?
A Russian fighter plane.
Oh, no.
They had it for sale on I Want One of Those.
That would be ever so bumpy, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That?
Funnily enough, I had a long conversation with Richard Knox Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Based in Canterbury.
Yeah.
Richard was the chairman of I Want One of Those. At the time, they were flogging this MiG on the website. It was really funny.
Aeroflot.
Yeah.
Kent and Victor Were you going to say something?
I was halfway through
Who
a tweet.
Are you?
I was halfway. I was halfway through a tweet which I had to click on to get more detail.
Oh yes, and then I jumped in. Carry on.
From Andy Page and the people at PH Accountancy in Whitstable, and they are saying they are running a Children in Need event, and what they're asking you to do for every new like on their Facebook page, they will donate 10p to Children in Need up to a maximum of £250. So if you want to generate some money for Children in Need and like their Facebook page, it's facebook.com/PH Accountancy. So do give them a little like, and 10p will go towards Children in Need.
I keep looking to see if I can see David Bowie. Is that David Bowie's drummer there?
Yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah. Carry on.
Gosh, I must put my lipstick on. Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce, breakfast, I've gone all flustered now.
Yeah.
Breakfast networking with business includes full English breakfast. My kids find it bizarre that I know the lyrics for every David Bowie song there
really?
Is.
Yeah.
It's misspent
years. Don't they find it even more alarming when you dress up?
Yeah.
And your spiders from Mars comfort.
Yeah. Like today.
Yeah.
Now, this includes a full English. It's worth going to this breakfast, just for the breakfast. Breakfast networking. It's 8 to 9.30, and there is one on Thursday of this week. That's at the Mercure in Tunbridge Wells, the Mercure Hotel. There's one on the 3rd of October. That's Oakwood House, Maidstone. And Tuesday the 8th of October at Priestfield Stadium in Gillingham. Then there's an after hours, 6 to 7.30. Where can you find your next new clients? So again, there's a list of them that they will be on the Business Bunker after the show. But the website to find out these networking events and where they are is www.kentinvictorchamber.co.uk events.
Cool. We had a bit of an update on parking charges at Menston that somebody's kindly put forward. We got the definitive rate now. It's £10.
Gosh.
It's £10 for 12 to 24 hours, and it's £34 for 7 days.
And who sent that?
Bargain.
Yeah, absolutely bargain.
Is that Mrs. Manston?
No, that was Maxim PR.
Brilliant. So £10.
Yeah, thank you for that, guys.
That's so cheap.
That's nothing, is it?
That's
thank
so
you, Rachel.
Cheap.
Yeah, that's nothing, actually. That's what I pay more than
very
that to
cheap.
Park in Canterbury.
Exactly.
Go Vicinity, the lovely Rob Parker.
Yes, hello, Rob.
Has said, thank you for the shout out for the horsey thing earlier for JJ Systems, for Jackie Offen. He says it's a very worthy charity. and the tickets and posters are really fantastic. That will be because you designed them, Rob, I expect.
Yes, he does. He's very good. I just like to go into the car park there by the cinema and use his Wi-Fi.
We've had Gullan's solicitors,
Gullan's
employment in Maystone, who are telling us about a Weald of Kent ploughing match and says, come and see us in our tractors.
I do like a plough match.
I'm not really sure why a solicitors has got tractors, but never mind. Come and see our tractors on the 14th of September at Reed Court, Chainhurst. And there's a website which is wkpma.co.uk.
And there is, of course, the Kent Business Tweet Ups, free business networking. You've got the Hotel Continental in Whitstable, which is the third Thursday of the month. That's at 9:30 to 12. And then you've got the At Lenley's one, which is At Lenley's on Twitter. And that's the last Thursday of the month, 10 to 12. That's free business networking. Go on to www.kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk for all details of those events.
And we've had a tweet from Lisa Settle who says, oh, I love the idea of stepping off the plane and being home in a few minutes.
Yes.
I'm going to go. Yeah, absolutely, Lisa. It's really well worthwhile.
I'm nipping off to Abu Dhabi for a camel.
Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services. AK Pet Services is 1 year old tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
And their first job of the day was to take a dog to the PDSA hospital in Gillingham.
Well, you would if you're a vet travel service.
I wonder if he's called Roger.
Might be Cecil.
Do you think?
Thursday the 3rd of October, Paul Andrews, there's a quarter house at Folkestone meeting. This is 9:15 to 5:15 PM. It's digital marketing.
Oh, digital in Kent?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Making the most of your opportunities and getting the right results. So is your business making the most of a huge opportunities the world of digi-marketing presenting? Do you know how and where to focus your time, attention and budget? Or could you get a better return on your investment in digital marketing? Get the answers from the UK's leading digital experts at the second Digital in Kent conference and more. Now, the website for this is www.digitallinkkent.co.uk. I'm going to read out the phone number, which is 01732 758 530. Lots of stuff going on there, so I suggest that you look on their website because we're running out of time, but lots going on. Check that out.
We've had a tweet from Sally Laker that
Hello,
says,
Sally.
It's a happy business bunker Tuesday and I'm busy baking and decorating cakes. And a huge thank you to Lisa Settle for nominating me for a Kent Independent Traders Award.
Ooh, fantastic.
You can follow all of those people by following Sally Four and the number four cakes, Kent underscore KITA, which is Kent Independent Traders Association Awards. Or indeed Lisa Settle at Lisa M. Settle. So thank you for that, Sally.
Telcare. Business. Telcare.
Absolutely. I've got an email from the Business Community Breakfast crew. Alex Waterton, who is a director at FKeys, the Microsoft Office training people, will be sharing his considerable experience of trouble-free presenting. If you have any worries in this area, Alex's talk is a must to hear. And you can hear that at the Business Community Breakfast meeting at Gillingham Golf Club. And they meet on the second Thursday each month, starting at 7:30 a.m. As well as a talk, there's ample opportunity to share with everyone there and to speak with individuals. The full English breakfast costs just £12.50, or it's £15 if you arrive on the day. If you'd like to display an advertisement on the rolling screen over the breakfast, please send it to Alex at alex@f-keys.co.uk by tomorrow night. That's tonight, Tuesday. Members can also feature their ad in hard copy on the members list. If you want to find out anything about this event, then go to their website, which is businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk.
September the 19th, grow your business with an apprentice. Businesses interested in helping local young people into work are invited to a first of a series of free seminars on Thursday the 19th. That's 9 till 11, and it's at the Discovery Park House, Ramsgate Road in Sandwich. I'll read out the sat-nav for you. It's C for Charlie, T for Tango, 139, N for Norman, and D for Desmond. So, made up my own yet again. I got the Charlie Tango bit right.
Oh, dear.
The morning event will be hosted by Barclays in partnership with Kent County Council.
Cognitive pterodactyl.
And during the seminar, you will have an opportunity to find out more about apprenticeships and other employment pathways. This is a brilliant idea, a free seminar on getting an apprentice and helping with your business. There's a phone number here. You're going to contact Steve Edge, E-D-G-E, on 07766 363378. Brilliant one, that one. I love apprentices, and we need to help them more.
Talking about workshops, there's a series of workshops due to start in October, presented by Jean Crew of JC Training, and it's called Gaining an Edge, or Gaining the Edge, a series of three highly engaging workshops aimed at those who are looking for opportunities to grow and develop both personally and professionally. These workshops are about building belief in yourself, belief in what you do, and belief in others, understanding what gives someone edge and makes them stand out from the crowd. In today's highly competitive marketplace, sales and sales techniques have something to teach everyone as regards the what and how of being different and the winning ingredients for getting yourself noticed. Workshop 1 starts on Monday, October the 14th, and it's about standing out from the crowd. Why be different? What different looks and sounds like? And making an impression that lasts. Workshop 2 on the next Monday, which is Monday the 21st of October, Gaining the Edge by Maximizing Potential for Success. It will look at what is success, barriers to success, and the power of positive programming. And Workshop 3 on Monday, October the 28th, Gaining the Edge by Planning for Results. The importance of defining what you want, how to truly get the EDGE, and the 5 R's of winning. You can find out more details about this by going to https://jecworkshops.eventbrite.co.uk. That link is on the Kent Business Radio website, and that is taking place at Fruitworks, which is 77 Stour Street in Canterbury, beginning with the first workshop on October the 14th. So do find out about that by going to the Eventbrite website and checking it out.
And a huge thank you to Fruitworks, who've done my Scoff and Quaff website, which will be launched this week. So thank you, boys, George and Tony. Southern Model show set to take off in Kent this weekend. This is this weekend, the 14th and 15th of September, and its new home is at Headcorn Aerodrome near Maidstone. There are expected to be around 12,000 visitors. So we will put details of that on the Bunker website after the show. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Gullens, the solicitors.
Oh, yes.
And they said, well, shouldn't every solicitor have a tractor or two?
Well, of course.
Of course you should. Of course you should.
Very strange.
Absolutely. Why not?
To have a pluff, what was it? A pluff?
Pluffing match.
Yeah, a pluffing match. Kent Science Park is working in partnership with Chain 2 to provide French reading and writing lessons this autumn. Ooh la la. So 27th of September is the first free taster session. That's 12 to 1.30. And it's at the Conference Centre, Newton House, and that's Kent Science Park. You need to go on to book online, www.learnfrenchksforsugarpforpeter.eventbrite.co.uk. Phone number, contact Babs, not K-N-O-T-T. 01795 411 506. So that's a brilliant one. It's a free taster session in French.
Cool.
What are you doing there, squeaking around over there?
I'm trying to log on to something to check it.
Cranking up your chair.
Oh, look, there's a photograph of us sitting outside. On the 30th of September, four Ashford men, Mark Penny, Matthew Gearing, Colin Kane and John Green, will be raising money for the Cystic Fibrosis Trust by cycling from central London to Paris and back again to Bromley. Your support would be great, but kind donations would be absolutely brilliant. You can find out more by making a donation at the following link. And the link is hugely long. So what I've done is I've put it on today's show page. Today's show is show number 140. Mm-hmm. So the link to UK Virgin Money Giving for this activity is on there. So you just got to click on it. Mark Penny, who's the participant and co-organiser of this great feat, said, myself and my friends have arranged an event to cycle from London to Paris and back in aid of the Cystic Fibrosis Trust. We are the sole nationwide cystic fibrosis charity in the UK and are solely funded by kind donations. So that's a fantastic effort. The link for donations is on the Kent Business Radio website, so do please have a look at that. If you'd like to talk to them about it, they have an email address, which is mmjp1@hotmail.co.uk.
Just a very quick one. The Sevenoaks Business Show, the 2013 one, is on Friday the 11th of October. We'll put details of this at the on the Business Bunker website, kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But you need to contact Gabrielle Argent, Sevenoaks Business Show, 0788781236.
Cool, thank you for that. You can do one more for me.
Can I? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Royal Victoria Place has won an internationally recognised for CSR achievements. That's the place, Royal Victoria Place Shopping Centre in Tunbridge Wells. Well done. They've been awarded the acclaimed Green Apple Award in recognition of its hugely successful best practice initiative, Ready Steady Green. So well done, chaps there. That's the royalvictoriaplace.com if you're going on the website.
Cool. Look, we've run out of time.
We have.
Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to share it with you today. Massive, massive thank you to Mr. Charles Buchanan, the Chief Executive of Manston Airport.
Thank you, Paul.
Pleasure. And Mr. Nicholas Reid, Chair of Why Not Manston. To the lovely Jill Serkin and all of you, the businesses of Kent, for looking in. Coming up on channelradio.co.uk at 3 o'clock this afternoon is Extra Milk with the fantastic Mr. Phil Lancaster as a guest of Kevin Cann. After that, at 5 o'clock is Craig Avery's show. And then at 9 o'clock, the...